It's Thursday, October 23rd, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 85. Faster, faster, come on, faster, faster, faster. Runtime for this episode is 54 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast you are listening to. My name is Jeremy.
Little Mac still OP. I'm Tyler.
My name's Zach.
I think one time I'm just going to not do a joke, just introduce my day, and Zach is still going to hesitate and be like, what's my line? You've got the blank chair opposite you. Should we just write, and my name is Zach, on the clipboard there for you to look right at?
No, I'm usually thinking of something else, and then my brain can't actually turn it into a statement that makes sense to anybody but me.
See, this is why you need acting classes.
No, I don't need acting class.
Partially because they're 90% improv.
Yeah.
So then you'll be forced to come up with jokes on the spot, or be, like, not laughed at, which is kind of awkward.
Or just deflect by drinking Sprite and having the spot in their face. Like you do in your gym, you just take a big chug of Sprite, like Sword of Omens, bring come to my hand and bring a joke.
I totally don't need to think, I'm just thirsty. I know I took a drink 2 seconds ago, but I'm still thirsty.
Oh man, cha-cha is still a thing, right? They haven't
gotten that terrible.
Business.
It's terrible, but yes, it is. I read you that cha-cha drama when I was like asking, I was trying to figure out when Excitebike came out. I told you this story, right?
Yeah, I think so. We did it on the air too.
Yeah, maybe. And it's like Super Mario Bros, like blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I care about Super Mario Bros. I asked about Excitebike. It's like, to get infinite lives in Super Mario Bros, press da, da, da. One, that code doesn't work. Two, I asked about Excitebike. And it's like, in Super Mario Bros, you need to get the pew pew flower so you can destroy everything. Pew pew pew. Like, this has been excellent advice, but I want to know when Excitebike came out. That's all I'm asking. Please.
I mean, they're like actual humans who answer the questions.
Well, yes, pew
right?
pew fireballs isn't gonna come from a robot.
I just like, wow.
Clearly, they don't actually read.
Yeah, I also asked when Batman Arkham Origins was coming out, and Scott Batman was created in 1926. I'm like, yes, I'm quite familiar in Detective Comics 27 by not Bob Kane because he's a scoundrel and Bill Frinker. I am perfectly aware. He's telling me about Arkham City. I hear it's a popular video game that the peoples want to play. But yes, it is still a thing. What were you saying?
The reason I recommended it is because, or not recommended it, but asked was because you could probably just ask them for a joke.
That's true.
Although, what's their fee for you? So I feel like you actually
it's
have
free.
To pay them. Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Do they get advertising? How do they make money on that?
Yeah, they will send you, like, text this number for sexy times, or this is the bestest joke text line, and stuff
okay.
like that.
Coincidentally, I actually, I had a brief conversation over Reddit with the guy who created the crowdsourcing tool that Cha-Cha uses.
Yeah.
That, like, programmatically allows you to basically call human as a function. So, that's kind of neat. And people get paid to do that. You get paid like $8 an hour to just sit around and answer questions as they come to you.
No, part of the problem with Cha-Cha is you get paid by the question answered.
Well, not necessarily just with Cha-Cha. There are other programs.
Well, I know, but that's part of the reason why they give such crap answers. It's like video games, Super Mario Brothers, and Clemens, their game. That's my answer.
Rather than looking it up.
Yeah.
Even though it would take like 10 seconds.
That's 10 seconds more for their next cent.
That is true.
Or whatever they get paid by.
I'm kind of curious.
Why didn't you just look it up on Wikipedia? Recall, the end of that saga was we looked on Wikipedia.
Yes, it was, but I did not have the internet available to me at that time. Because I have an ancient phone forged in the fires of Mount Olympus that does not have an internet connection.
I actually
that
wonder...
sounds like a personal problem.
It is.
If I could just, like...
You asked me for a reason, though. You did not ask why you should ridicule me, jerk.
I was going to say, I wonder if I could, like, sign up for a service like that and then just write a program to go troll Wikipedia for the answer. Which would actually probably make me more money than trying to answer the questions. Then I could just leave it running all the time. Then I wouldn't even have to be there. Oh, man.
Automation.
Yeah, but you'd have to leave your phone, most likely.
But then a blue hedgehog would come and free all of the animals you enslaved to power your device. We're going to be talking about Sonic Chaos later today, guys.
Chaos!
Which is also called Sonic and Tails.
Is it? I didn't know it had the
game,
other name.
The Game Boy version in America is actually called Sonic and Tails.
Wait, the game, Game Gear, you mean?
Yeah, Game Gear. Okay. You know what I meant. There's also a Genesis or Master System version. I can't keep Sega consoles straight, apparently, which is what me and Zach defaulted to because it was easily available and did not have a confusing name change. But we'll save that for later, kids. It'll be a real treat. There'll be chili dogs and
hoverboard things. I like the hoverboard thing.
Yeah. Well, spoilers, bro.
Oh.
First, we have to ask, what have you been playing? And please tell me it was Walking Dead, because you promised.
I played all the Walking Dead.
You finish it?
No. I'll get to that in a moment, though.
Okay.
So I think last time we recorded, I commented that I accidentally corrupted my Phoenix Wright save file.
Yeah.
So I finally got caught back up, and then even further, and there are all sorts of shenanigans. One of the characters kidnaps herself.
Did you save the whale yet?
Wait, what?
I know in one of the Phoenix Wright games, your last client is a whale.
A lot of them will have, like, an after you beat the game, like, extra case just for the hell of it. And they're usually something completely ridiculous, like saving a whale or...
Whales!
Whales, guys! Phoenix Wright, it's awesome. I completed Professor Layton in the Azran Legacy. It was a good game. It's
you,
like
you
Professor
conquered
Layton.
Many puzzles.
Indeed. The more I play it, the more I think I prefer the Phoenix Wright games.
They have more character, as I understand it.
Yeah. Like, Professor Layton's good for, like, a bunch of brain teasers, but I don't know. There's, like, thrilling courtroom drama. It's thrilling.
It's also ridiculous.
It's
not really drama at that point, is it?
It's melodrama?
Yeah,
more than actual drama?
It's got really colorful characters, like the dominatrix whip girl who's a prosecutor who had a riding crop when she was younger.
And, like, super crazy revelations in the middle of a case, or, like, it's always a good feeling when you're, like, searching around all these places for the evidence that will be the critical, or the linchpin, is that a thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that an idiom? I don't know, the critical turning point of tomorrow's trial. Like, you're searching through some guy's garage, and you're like, aha, a disused cell phone! I can totally show people this in court, but I'm not gonna check the call history, because... That would be rude.
As opposed to just walking off with a dude's cell phone is not rude.
Exactly.
It's evidence.
That's
you
actually
put it in a baggie.
In the first, and I'm assuming Phoenix Wright, Apollo Justice is an old enough game that this isn't a huge spoiler, but in the first case, you actually get forged evidence and you don't realize it's forged and you're using it, and then you almost get disbarred for using forged. I don't know. It's awesome.
Is that how Phoenix Wright was defeated?
I think so, yes. They haven't gotten that. They haven't told me.
Are you going to play the Miles Edgeworth game when you...
Oh, yeah. No, that's... Because
I've heard that's the best one.
That is next on my list. I've been trying to play them in the order they were released.
Okay.
And that is number 4 on the list, or 5. I don't know.
For some reason, I thought that came out before Apollo Justice, but I might be wrong.
It might have. I might also be doing Apollo Justice out of order. But he's got spiky hair, man. I just can't.
Fair enough.
Anyway, I'm almost done with Grandia. Again, I was not as close to the end as I thought I was.
I told you that's what he was going to do. Yeah, I'm almost done. 2 months later down the line, finish.
To be fair, I have only played it
It's actually a procedurally generated RPG that somehow came out way before procedural generation was common and can somehow do its story content.
You could probably do that, but the story would just
be
like...
Be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, City of Heroes did that and it had a pretty good generation thing, but
my problem is like
ran into a lot of patterns.
How would you escalate, like... I don't know.
Yeah, threat escalation is hard. Unless you had a pre-planned path, but even then that's hard to... You can't do that indefinitely.
Yeah. But I've only played like 2 hours of Grandia in the past like 3 weeks or 4 weeks or something, so...
Not much.
But I also played all The Walking Dead.
How far
finally.
Did you get?
Spoilers? Should I care?
We'll spoiler tag this. If you haven't played The Walking Dead Season 1, you should.
Disagree.
But have you played it?
He played Episode 1.
Okay, wait, just episode 1? Wait, the first season has like 5 episodes,
yeah.
Right?
Okay, episode yes. 1 ends when you leave the drugstore.
Okay.
Not letting you, like, do you leave or do you fortify it? Now I can't think of that.
You leave at the
you
end.
You leave and then
okay,
go
yeah.
to like a motor inn.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I think the motor inn is where it starts getting really good. So.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to you, with you about this because I don't want to spoil things and I feel like saying like even opinions on the way the episodes progressed would be spoilery, but I feel like the first couple, they made a lot of mistakes they really learned from. Like, in particular, there's some puzzles in the first one that would not fly in the later editions. But anyway, how far did you get?
I don't think I got much farther than this, but I don't know, to keep it relatively spoiler-free, the mallard is gone. Another word for... Okay, a duck is dead.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
And
yeah.
I have...
Oh, that part.
I've
so
recently
have you found the two
Kenny.
People that you find after that? Spoiler, some more people show up in your... party.
Yeah, no, they did that in like the preview of the next season thing that they did at the end of it. I haven't met the chick yet.
Okay.
But if there's someone other than the hobo, I haven't met them.
Okay.
But I like the hobo. He's cool.
Yeah, that scene with the mallard is... So did you do it, or...
Oh, no, I did it. I offered to do it, too, and then they're like, okay. Or Katya's like, you're doing this family a great favor. I'm like, yeah, I am, you assholes. And she walks off into the woods and then kills herself. I'm like, what the hell, man? I was going to do that for you. I mean, not you, but him. I mean...
Yeah, I didn't do it for them. And I'm like, what happened here? And he's like, yeah, we did. And then she shot herself. And oh, man. Oh, man. So you got through the cannibal island farm.
Yes. Oh, I called that.
Yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah, so like 2 minutes into that, I'm like.
At farmers, you should be like, wait a minute.
Well, the farmers who are serving meat, first of all. And then when you go out to investigate that camp. I can't remember when I first called it, but it was well before we found the butcher room in the back.
Yeah.
So. And then they're like, oh my god, they're cannibals. I'm like, if I had been Lee, I would have called that and just left.
We're out. Did you stop Clem at least from eating?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Who did you let live in episode one?
Wait, what?
Did you save the chick with the gun or the guy with the brain?
I even forgot about that. I saved the chick with the gun.
But gun.
She doesn't know that batteries go in a certain way.
She has a gun. You can take it from her and leave her later.
You know what you could do if she was dead?
Not get the gun, because you're being overwhelmed by zombies at the time.
I assume she just had really poor eyesight, even though she was an excellent shot.
They have said that was an attempt to, like Doug, by contrast, knows all the frequencies to the universal remote.
That seems like incredibly useless information that
somebody
who collects
model trains
would have.
Yeah, but the idea is he's, like, crafty. Like, he... rigs booby traps for the motel, which doesn't really come into play.
Neither of them really matter in the end. So.
Yeah, and also when you're fighting the cannibals, he will use like a laser pointer to blind them for you.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which doesn't really change things, but adds an extra scene where he's like, I'm helping Lee!
Aren't you glad you saved me? No, I definitely went with the chick with the gun. I, honestly, the fact that she put the batteries in wrong did not come off as stupid to me.
See, I saved her, but for me, the gun didn't matter. It was all about she knew what my problem was, and
that's
I wanted
exactly
someone
why.
In my corner who knew.
That's exactly why I took
for
her.
When that hit the fan.
I also gave Lily's dad food.
Yeah.
During the you have to give out rations thing. And then I regretted it later because we just killed him anyway.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, how did that go down? Were you like, yep, let's do this, or?
I went, yep, let's do this.
Oh, okay. So. If you say, no, let's save him, that is a good scene.
He's totally dead, right?
Kenny you are doing CPR and you're doing prompts for CPR, and Kenny does what you do, like in the middle of CPR prompts, and it is intense.
That is pretty ridiculous. Oh, also, did you let Lily live, or did you not abandon her on the side of the road?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
And then she steals the RV because her.
Yeah.
God damn it, Lily. I never liked her in the first place, though, because she was overly defensive of her father. So
yeah.
He was an ass.
Yeah.
That guy.
I just wanted to leave him in the beginning. I'm like, I don't really care about him.
Spoilers, you get to drop a salt lick on his face.
I wouldn't have grabbed him in the first place, but the whole first episode is revolved around getting him medicine.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know
he's
an asshole.
He's clearly a problem. Let's just pitch him out. Yeah, he pretty much reveals he's an asshole right off the bat.
Yeah, he's like, that little kid is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Without checking him,
that's
we
true.
Should kill him. And then he threatens to kill you for standing up for the kid, if you do that.
I think I tried to play negotiator there, and Kenny does not like that.
No, I super sided with Kenny, because I'm like, this guy is clearly an asshat. So, although I try to, no, I side fairly strongly with people in general, but mostly because I feel like having an ally is more important than being
neutral.
Spoiler,
choosing Kenny is the right choice if you go through.
I generally choose Kenny.
That pays off, generally. There are some rough moments in there, but he will, for the most part, have your back.
He was angry that I convinced him that his child was dying.
Well, there's no way around that. His child is dying.
Yeah, and then he dies.
Yeah, ugh.
And then Katya dies. I did not see that.
Yeah, that is a 1-2.
But on the other hand, I gave Clem a haircut. So.
Yeah, I was about to ask if you did that yet, but then I was like, is that spoilers? I'll leave that off.
No, I'm like in the middle of that we haven't arrived at Savannah yet. I assume it actually gets there.
Yeah. Did you choose to teach her how to use a gun?
Oh, I didn't even know that was a choice. Yeah.
I think it. Maybe it isn't. Maybe you just ought to teach her, but I thought it was.
I didn't think you could progress until you complied with Hobo's wishes. So, Charles, Chuck?
I think it's Chuck. Just Chuck.
But yeah, I didn't know that you could progress the plot without teaching her, so.
You definitely have to do something with her. I thought you could opt not to teach her how to use a gun if you want to.
I feel like that would make her dead later.
Yeah, yeah. I think teaching her is definitely the right choice, but I'm wrong and it's not a choice.
That could accidentally make someone else dead later.
Yeah, but I don't want to spoil things, but there is a moment later where if Clem is in a certain state, you can fail to save someone and she will pick up your slack.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was assuming it was like super foreshadowing where like there would be a time skip and you're dead and Clem's now the main character.
I don't want to spoil things, but I guess this is, most people know this. Clem is the main character of season 2.
I kind of assume so.
Given that she's on all the advertisements for it.
She's kind of the main character in season 1 too. She's just not who you play as.
I actually haven't seen any advertisements for any of these games. I've heard Wolf Among Us is pretty good. Yeah, I don't really look at the Steam store that much.
I haven't played Season 2 yet, and I should get on that. It's just my save is on the Xbox, which I don't have right now. You're about exact halfway mark, I would say.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Well, Episode 4 is kind of short, but you're about halfway through Episode 3. 2.5 episodes to go.
I rather like it. It's
intense.
It's intense, yeah. Although I don't really have much trouble making the snap decisions. I usually take until the timer's like most of the way out, yep. But
I only once failed to make a choice, which is that first part where you're in the car and there's a zombie on the road. And
oh, okay,
that's because it goes away almost immediately. No.
It's pretty quick, and it's the first time that happens. So
I failed to make a choice when the first time between choosing to save Herschel's son and Duck. I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had a time limit on that, so I just restarted from that point because I didn't feel too bad about that because I didn't realize there was a time limit.
Yeah. But
I just grabbed the son. I'm like, grab the kid. He's an idiot.
Yeah, no, I figured the older guy could fend for himself long enough that we could get the kid off the tractor and then go save the other guy. But no, apparently we're just going to stand there and watch him get pulled through a fence. So that's my one problem with this game is that it kind of like sets up false dilemmas. I feel like
that's maybe definitely true, especially early on.
Maybe I'm projecting
ninja
a little.
Ninja zombies. That's also what creates that first problem.
How do they get there? They like snuck up through it. They're zombies.
They snuck up through it. Through the middle of a field. There's nothing there in broad daylight.
How does Cerberus have so many goddamn soldiers willing to kill themselves on humanity's last hope in Mass Effect 2 and 3?
You actually don't shoot any Cerberus agents in 2.
Aren't you working for Cerberus?
Yes, and you want to shoot them so bad because they are jerking your chain. So obviously.
My problem with the false dilemmas is that there's a lot of like having to side with people.
Yeah.
And
The thing is, you can choose to say nothing. And I think that's how they
not
try to get around
that. I feel like I might be projecting because this is how I would respond, but I really feel like a lot of these people would not be this intent on being assholes to each other.
I mean, you have to have that to
situation.
Have drama, right?
Well,
and without
yeah.
drama, you don't have the game. I do tend to agree.
I feel like that's fine for fiction, but I also, like, some part of my brain is like, this would never happen in real life.
Well, for example, leaving the guy who tried to kill multiple members of the party in the group.
Yeah, but the party
here, I have a gun. Get
them.
Oh, what, the Lily's dad?
Yes.
Yeah. Although, part of that
I have a gun. Yeah. Take your chances.
Part of that is Lee's kind of a bleeding heart, so.
Yeah, it's interesting how much of a character Lee is and how much agency that robs from you.
On the other
hand,
it
works. It
doesn't, which is...
Well, I really, like, because you don't know his backstory, in my head, he was innocent.
Oh, no, he totally killed the guy.
Yeah, and that is not on the table. He is 100% guilty. To me, he was innocent of a crime, and I didn't know what the crime was. And that was an interesting role-playing challenge to be like, what would this guy say?
Did you do the thing where Carly, like, exhorts you to go around and confess to people?
Yeah, but I didn't actually confess, I don't think. I think I told Kenny.
I confess to everyone, including Ben, and he's like, why are you telling me this?
I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much. He's
everybody's
like,
dead. What does it matter now?
Well, that's how most people would and should react.
I think I told Kenny and Lily.
No, I told everyone.
And I think Kenny's
Doc.
Just like, you didn't touch a kid, right?
Yeah, that's funny. Although I think that's only if you've sided with him previously. He's a lot more angry about it if you're not on good terms with him.
Yeah, I was on kind of neutral terms with him, and he was...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know.
Like, I did a lot to help him, and then a lot he didn't like throughout the game.
Did he give Duck a high five?
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I did. I totally gave Duck a high five. Duck will remember that.
No, it actually says, Duck thinks you're super awesome. I don't know. It's a good game. I like it. I'm now actually kind of excited to play Wolf Among Us because I'm also a huge fan of Fables.
And a lot of people say Wolf Among Us is better. I haven't played that one either.
It's also their second game.
Yeah,
so.
Well, second game like this. They've done...
That's what I meant.
and Game of Thrones, man, when they do Game of Thrones.
I'm going to kill everyone. I'm just going to be a psychopath.
You're going to be Joffrey?
It will probably not end well for me. But
no, you will get Ned Starked.
Is that a thing? Can we use that as a verb now? Be Ned Starked?
I think being Sean Bean is a thing.
Does he get beheaded in a lot of roles? Or?
Well, he's Boromir.
Oh, okay.
He's also the bad guy in GoldenEye.
He died.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so did I until my dad was watching GoldenEye one day. And I was like, you know, just looking at the TV guy, I'm like, Sean Bean is in this? And I look at the villain, I'm like, oh, my God, that's Sean Bean without the hair and beard.
He would be hard to recognize without it. How did I never notice that he's Boromir? I just...
Like, that's the I noticed that, like, looking at the poster for Game of Thrones, not knowing what it was.
And you're like, why is Boromir on the...
No, I was like, okay, yeah, he's a fantasy guy. And then my dad told me he died, and I'm like, well... That's a spoiler, but I guess what do you expect? He died at the end of the first season. That's in keeping with the roles he plays.
End of the first movie, dies. End of the first whatever, dies.
I mean, there's a whole episode where he's already dead in Game of Thrones, but that's so you don't just leave. That's so you come back next season, even though the only cool dude has been beheaded.
I mean, John's not a bad guy. He's just
no,
not doing
he's
anything.
Kind of an emo douche, though, in season one.
John?
Yeah. He's
really?
Like,
because he's like, oh, my family lied to me about what the purpose of the wall was.
Tyrion has to be like, hey, you know, you're a spoiled rich kid. Don't be such a dick to all these peasants.
And that's when everyone fell in love with Tyrion.
Yep. And Rob is only motivated to go be a cool guy by the death of his father.
And then he goes to his head. Yep. And then a wolf goes to his head. A wolf's head, specifically, goes on his head.
Poor Starks.
They're all dead.
Arya's okay-ish.
I think she's, like, actually with, like, no.
No, she's on a boat.
Yeah, by herself, huh? I forgot about that.
Sansa is with the most manipulative, backstabby guy in the kingdom.
Yep.
Zach, since you've fallen asleep, what have you been playing?
Hotline Miami?
I've heard of it. I've never actually played it.
You would hate Hotline Miami.
Probably.
No, the only reason I mentioned it is because Beta did a Hotline Miami DLC.
I know. I've been debating buying it, but I'm kind of just waiting for it to go on sale because I haven't been playing Payday as often because I don't have friends online on that one as often anymore.
I'm sorry. I've been watching Doctor Who instead.
Playing games that I have had friends online for, I've been playing a lot of League, a lot more than I usually am because of the aforementioned friends. We're just getting everybody together on a more regular basis and having... voice chat
via the powers of the internet.
Sadly, I haven't been joining. I've been being lame, but we'll get to that after Zach's done.
Yeah, Jeremy's been being lame. Played a little bit of Warhammer, Dawn of War 2. Not too much, but I have played a little bit. And that's basically it. Like, I tried playing a few ranked games in League, did very poorly, and have pretty much said, screw it, unless I have a duo or a full team, I'm not bothering with this crap anymore. And played a lot with our buddy Kevin, playing a lot of the Carry Bug.
I think you have described the Carry Bug to me before.
He's Kha'Zix. He's totally not an alien from Aliens.
Okay, that one.
His arch enemy is totally not a predator from Predators.
Okay.
Well, clearly, I mean, he doesn't have the face mask or the...
And aliens aren't vaguely Lovecraftian.
Nope, but yeah, I've been playing a lot of him and playing fairly well. I had two games in which I carried yesterday, so that made me happy. Especially given my 3 losses, 1 win on Tuesday really
ouch.
Stung. Not only just losses, really, really bad games around.
Makes it feel any better that one game of Smash I played online before we started recording. I lost by, I think, 5 points.
You the smashed brother?
Yeah, I got smashed.
We're always better until we take it online.
That's why everyone's bad at League of Legends.
No, I just played much worse than I normally do. Played a game of ranked yesterday and did actually quite well. I just didn't manage to win the game because... The rest of my team did not perform similarly.
I haven't been playing much League, like I've said. I've been watching Worlds. USA is out.
We're not surprised, but it's
both American teams took a game off both Korean teams.
Is it going to be white or blue?
I still think blue. White looks so strong, but 3 best of 5s in a row, white has looked like they're going to murder everybody, and blue wins 3-1.
I think white.
So, but if we look at the meta series, white winning would mean that blue has won best of 5s 3-1 this year.
That is true.
I think white is probably going... I think white's going to take it against blue. I think they're cheesed enough and they're going to actually finally step up on the world stage and beat their longtime rivals.
Cheesed enough? I don't think I've ever heard you use that idiom.
I mean, I've heard Zach use it. I've never heard anyone else use it. He means upset enough that losing to blue constantly when everyone's like, white's gonna win this. Nope, blued.
That's what I thought, because I think I've heard cheesed off before.
Yes,
but
that is an idiom.
Okay.
I have all sorts of idioms that I use, but apparently I never use around you.
That, and they're like, I feel like these are Kansas idioms, so not really sure where you got them.
Well, my brother described me at one point as being a Southerner, or a Texan for some strange reason. I'm not sure where he got that. I don't have any kind of Texan thing going on.
I've never ridden a steer in my life.
I haven't.
Well, I'm definitely rooting for blue because the other side of the bracket is two Chinese teams. Since OMG managed to 3-0 the last Korean team in the bracket, and a Chinese team versus blue would be an interesting final, whereas a Chinese team versus white would be a stomp.
Huh, you know, if it's the Chinese team that beat Najin, which is OMG, right?
Yes.
If they take Worlds, I think that will mean in the two of the three Worlds that Watch has been to, his team has been eliminated by the eventual
winners,
champions.
It would also mean that a region has never won Worlds twice.
Which would be kind of neat.
Yes. And then NA could maybe step up in season 5 and we'd have a round. And then Brazil can come in season 6 and be like, we're a real region now, bros.
They got to start. They beat Alliance.
Yeah. Do they have any teams other than Kaboom?
Yeah.
I would presume they have some.
Yeah, they had to have a play-in to decide who went.
Between Kaboom or other.
Yeah. Well, and a bunch of like washed-out Koreans went to Brazil to play. And Kaboom had to defeat them.
This is completely random, but thinking of random team names that could have come from Brazil, I saw a clip from a show recently where someone's talking to someone. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm in a band. They're like, oh, cool. What's the name? And they're like, we haven't decided on it now. So just to screw with people's iTunes lists, we're called various artists. But that would be an excellent league team name, except it wouldn't.
I still want my league team name to be the Failure 5. Just saying.
Denver Dragons.
Despite the fact that that would totally not work because it does we only have to be two failures on our team. Usually well, they're our bottom lane.
No, then, the Failure 5 is the reunion of Alex Each, Edward, Genja, Darien, and Diamond, formerly Moscow 5. Only two of them are still on a pro team? Or is it just one? Yeah, Edward? Diamond is still there. Diamond is still there.
I thought they kicked him off.
They did, but they saw the light and brought him back.
And then they remembered why they kicked him off.
He was better than the guy they got.
I'm not saying he wasn't better.
And Alex Each is like, guys, give me an offer. I am free agent again.
Hey, I know a place you can go. Curse needs an 80 carry.
Well, both Millennium and SK are currently without mid laners. Actually, SK hasn't actually gotten rid of Jezzes, but they said they were interested in giving Alex an offer, and Alex would be an upgrade to Jezzes.
So Millennium kicked Kerp to the side?
Kerp left.
He wasn't that good to begin with. Yep. It's not really saying a whole lot.
The only other thing I've been playing is the last assignment for Mobile Month, because I want to be far in it.
Oh, wait. But have we already...
You can ask me off the podcast, but okay. I'm not going to reveal it now.
That's he does not want to show the secret.
Yeah, it's too strong a pick. I've been watching random superhero shows, and by random I mean two of the four that are on network television right now.
Flash
Gotham,
or Gotham
or Flash?
I'm not watching Gotham yet. I think I'm going to capitulate and end up watching Gotham, but showrunner said that Batman stops being interesting the moment he puts on his mask and cape, and goddamn can I not disagree with a person more. I think Osama bin Laden could tell me why the West is terrible, and I would agree more than the statement that Batman isn't interesting when he puts on his costume.
Well, that's because you absolutely adore Batman.
I feel like Batman's not very interesting. Like, I've never read a Batman comic where I'm like, man, I wish there were more Bruce Wayne in this.
And comparatively speaking, between the two main icons of DC being interesting, Batman is a hell of a lot more interesting than anything other. Or the other guy.
I would say Clark Kent is more interesting than Bruce Wayne, though.
No, I would say Bruce Wayne is still a lot more interesting.
I mean, I guess he's rich, so.
Yeah. Well, he's a rich playboy who beats people up at night in his underwear. I mean...
he's not in his underwear, he's dressed like Dracula.
Either way, like, he's got that rich playboy thing going on. Clark Kent is the bland office worker.
He's in an interesting love triangle, though.
Between him, Lois Lane, and himself?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Ed was commenting on, he's been watching Gotham, and he says it's really good until they heavy-handedly do, like, a comic reference.
Yeah, like, I'm like, okay, Enigma, don't give us any of your Riddlers, you riddle-given guy.
He's the Riddler.
Was that a Penny Arcade?
Yes.
Okay.
But I've also been told that that's literally, like, a line from the show. But I'm not giving in and watching it. Also, like, at 11, Bruce Wayne is already, like, this super hard guy who's, like, not eating to see how long he can go without eating. And is stealing, like, files from Commissioner Gordon to solve cases and...
How old was Bruce when his parents died? Like
9 10? In the comics. He's 11 in the show.
Oh. Oh, so he's... But his parents have been dead for months and he's already doing this.
Yeah.
What the... Alfred, how are you letting a child starve himself?
Alfred, played by former Dr. Sean Pertwee. I've been told in the third episode, the most recent, he's gotten decent, but he's been like this cruel, I'm going to beat you parent. And I'm like, no, that's not how Alfred works.
I'm not
sorry.
Even that big of a, I don't know that much about Batman, but Alfred is not, I'm going to kick the shit out of you, boy.
Although that's something I've been confused on, because Bruce basically goes around the world training at a young age. What the hell did Alfred's just like, good luck, Master Bruce. I'll be here having tea and scones.
Well, I think Batman Begins, he goes when he's 18.
Okay.
And it depends. I think he also, that's the route the most recent origin story has followed, is instead of going to college, he went to Worldwide Vigilante Field Trip School.
Well, they're based in Gotham. So it makes sense. I mean, you get the hometown discount.
No, but I've not been watching that, and I've not been watching Arrow, although only because the season premiere of Arrow was last night, and I haven't got the chance. I have, however, watched the first episode of season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And guys, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. might be good now. It's kind of scary. They've got, like, an interesting cast and diversity. There are, like, 3 black guys instead of negative 1.
Wait, how do you get negative 1 black guys?
They got a black alumni of Joss Whedon Productions, J. August Richards, and murdered him promptly. They then later brought him back as a cyborg, but not an interesting cyborg.
Just a cyborg?
Yeah.
I've heard The Flash is actually surprisingly good.
Okay, I watched the first episode of The Flash, and I think the problem is everyone's like, oh man, it's good, and I had expectations. Because there are definitely things to like. But then, with the exception of the guy who plays The Flash, who is great, the actors are all really not... Also, you can definitely tell it's a CW show. There's a reference to twerking and a love triangle that definitely doesn't need to be there. And Barry gets friend-zoned so hard, I'm like, I've been friend-zoned in my real life, but it was never as painful as that. and the mentor guy is so obviously evil. For the pilot, they are obviously trying to copy a superhero movie.
Like story arc?
Not plot, but pacing. And it doesn't really work for the mentor to suddenly like be on his side at the end, because there's not enough time to establish that. And there's just a whole lot that would have worked better as like a mid-season twist or mid-season finale stuff that comes too fast. And also, they're using Geoff Johns' stupid plot from his stupid 2011 comic that's stupid. But of course they would do that.
It's the most
it's not
wise
really
there stupid.
Because not every superhero needs dead parents. It's basically, the setup is that Barry Allen's mom was killed when he was 11 by his time-traveling arch-nemesis from the future. And his father was framed, so his father is in prison, and he's trying to prove that it wasn't his father who did it, but because of superpowers, he's the only possible suspect.
Well, at least it is the archenemy from the future.
Yeah.
As opposed to the archenemy from the past.
Well, as opposed to...
Oh, man.
Copy-pasting Batman's origin story, where...
Mugger?
Just think about this, though. A Flash villain called the Victorian... He's a time-traveling guy from the 1800s.
That would be great. Flash has lots of time-travel villains.
Okay, well, it doesn't have to be a Flash villain.
So I'm saying it works. Like, Abracadabra, who is a wizard, but actually he's just from the future and has sufficiently advanced technology.
But it goes kinda around calling himself old.
Wizard. Yes, but he's like, I'm totally a wizard. Whereas Booster Girl's like, I'm from the future, bros, force field. Sports almanac.
I really wish I had studied history more.
No, I think the Sports Almanac covers that.
Although
1,000-1 odds this team wins the Super Bowl, I'd like to put $400 on him.
The very fact that he's there kind of changes things. Man, I need to catch up on Invincible, speaking of superheroes.
Yeah, so do I. I'm where you are.
Yep.
And like the issue 100 where he killed everyone already happened between there.
Wait, what?
I don't think anyone actually died, but the like all the advertisements for Invincible 100, since it's the same guy who does Walking Dead, all of the advertisements were just all the characters being brutally murdered, like a different poster for each one.
And of course. I was going to say, I was trying to figure out, because Ed's been keeping up on it, and I was trying to figure out how far behind I was.
I think like 2 trades.
Well, and he was like, okay, so 50 issues ago, this thing happened. Has that happened yet? I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, well, you're really far behind, so.
I don't think I'm 50 issues behind. And the last line I read was when they glassed Las Vegas.
Yeah, me too. So apparently that's...
And then did you read Guarding the Galaxy? Because I've also read that, which was like the spinoff that was going on with some of the minor characters who became the new Guardians of the Galaxy. Or not Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah.
The new Earth Defense Force guys. Yeah. I forget what they're... Guardians of the Globe?
Yeah, that's it. The Guardians of the Globe.
No, I did not read that.
Okay. Well, I have that, and you can read it if you want.
Yeah.
All right, but speaking of going fast like the Flash, we played Sonic Chaos this week. And speaking of wanting to like it, but...
Go fast!
Oh, God.
I mean, it's got rocket hoverboards.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
So, I mean, it's a Sonic game. This was by far the easiest, I think.
Did you beat it?
Yeah.
I got stuck on, I want to say, the fourth boss. He's got, like, a mech.
I got stuck on the second boss.
Wait, which... Is it the hopping
one?
It's
actually Eggman. It's the one after the hopping one. Who's got, like, the guns and, like, he has ping pong ball.
Oh, the one that's actually Eggman? He's the final boss.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I beat his first form, and then I could not hurt his second form.
Oh, you only have to hit him once. You have to get him as he goes by.
Yeah, I hit him, and I died. Oh, like, okay. I hit the top of his head, and I died. And I had rings.
That's... Oh, yeah, no, that definitely happens. He kills you with regardless of your ring status, which is bull.
It's awful. I don't have to go too far in depth. It's just bad. Play Sonic 2.
I mean, it's better
Let's do analysis, because this podcast is about analyzing video games.
So I've been asleep for half of it, so I kind of forgot what I was doing here.
It's better than Ghosts and Goblins. I mean...
No, it's not.
Really? Because I feel like Ghosts and Goblins is pretty low on the list.
I think, assuming you played it on not an emulator, by which I mean an emulator, you probably didn't have a problem that was very apparent playing this, which it has worse slowdown than Mega Man. It's doing
jumping
it constantly.
With nothing on the screen causes it to slow down.
Oh, really? I didn't get it that bad.
Yes.
The Master System?
Yes.
Huh, that's a version I played.
But like when I got hit and rings flew out, then I would get just an intolerable lag spike. And since your hit invincibility is kind of on the short end in this game.
I never really understood what the hit invincibility was. It was really, really, really short.
Yeah, and the thing was, not only was it short, it's not as short as in some other games we played, like ActRaiser, but I always expected it to last longer,
got me in trouble. You can start taking damage before you stop blinking. That's the problem that I ran into. I actually took a couple of hits while I was still blinking.
You also can't pick up rings while still blinking, I noticed.
You can, but it's got really weird hit detection on it.
Actually, one thing I wanted to mention about this, and I don't know why they changed it, because the earlier ones worked so well, but they screwed up a fundamental platforming, hitbox wisdom, which is everything that is harmful to the player should have a smaller hitbox than anything that is beneficial to the player. The rings, you can't jump like in a 2x2 column of rings and pick all of them up because the hitboxes are too small.
Yeah, you get one side and then the other.
And in this game, other Sonic games will limit the rings that will come out of you sometimes. Like usually it's like maxes out at around 40. This one gives you rings based on how many you had. And that usually means just one comes out.
1 to 4 is what I experienced.
I got 6 once. It was a glorious day.
But you can't actually like pick up the number of rings you lost, which is something that you could do in that. I think that's probably a limitation with the Master System, but I really feel like they could have handled that better.
I think it's partly that, and partly that getting 100 rings is sort of the goal of levels.
That is true.
So that makes being hit a much bigger penalty.
I didn't realize
that until
almost all the way through the game.
I didn't try to get 100 rings. The levels weren't interesting enough for me to go exploring to find 100 rings.
Also, the levels are pretty uninteresting. They're all super short, and...
I was surprised when I finished a level in freaking 12 seconds.
Really?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
I think that's possible. But if you get 100 rings, the level ends early and you go to a bonus level where you're supposed to get a Chaos Emerald. I didn't realize that the first 2 times I got it. And like the bonus world, the first one is just tons of rings. So I got like 26 lives doing that before I was, a Chaos Emerald. I should get that.
They'll have giant rings that are worth 10 and you can just like sit there and whore for lives, which is what I did every time I was there because I didn't realize there were Chaos Emeralds.
Yeah,
there,
once
that explains why I didn't actually get any farther is because I didn't actually go to any of these bonus stages, so I had 3 lives.
Yeah, I accidentally got 100 rings once. I'm like, oh, hey, rings in the sky. That's neat. Oh, giant rings. Oh, I have 15 lives.
you get different bonus levels when you get Chaos Emerald. The next one doesn't have nearly as many rings.
That's unfortunate.
It's got really annoying platforming.
I just did the first one over and over because I always thought it was the same thing. So.
Yeah.
Although, I really, if you beat the game, you just get, and didn't get all the Chaos Emeralds, you just get try again.
Yeah, it's the same with the first Sonic.
It's, but there isn't even like an ending thing. It's just a screen that says try again. There's not Eggman, nothing.
If you beat it with Tails, that doesn't happen, because Tails can't actually get bonus levels.
Oh.
Well, and let's talk about Sonic, because there are some unique things about Sonic first, and I'm assuming we all played Sonic.
Yeah.
I did my due diligence and played both.
Ooh.
But Sonic's main thing is he can get these, like, they look like the Rocket Shoe power-up, but they're...
I think those are the same icon.
I believe they are. They're not, they're very similar. But instead it's like a flying surfboard that you're on, which is kind of interesting.
It'd be better if the hit detection on the rings was better, because there are a bunch of the double set stacked rings, and even though you're passing through all of them, you're only getting one of them. It's like the only one that you can actually pick up is whichever one is at level with either Sonic's eyes or his belly button, and I'm not really sure which.
I think it's actually like right in, it's like at his neck.
Well, that's where you put rings.
Oh, they're necklaces, but how does he fit them around his bulbous head?
He just steps into them, being how small his waist is. They're like hula hoops.
One other thing, this is only sort of related. The bosses are their own levels. They're very short levels. Most of them have a hidden area with some extra power-ups. Most of them have invincibility, but by the time the boss's intro is through, your invincibility is over.
Yep, and there are no enemies usually, so...
And this thing about bosses, which is sort of cool and sort of terrible, when you go to one, the screen sort of shifts away from you for a second, and it goes almost into this widescreen effect because it takes off the information, so you can't see how many rings and lives you have, which is cool until you want to know if you have rings because you're not sure. And you realize, where did my display go? I thought this game had a HUD.
I remember seeing a HUD in here at some point. And given that rings are how you determine whether or not you can screw something up, removing that makes it...
Like, even like a wide N would be okay.
Considering the number of rings in a boss fight doesn't really matter as much as, do I have them or not?
That means if you have a ton, it means the first hit, you have more chances to get more rings.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of disappointed that none of the bosses were Eggman, except the final boss.
The third one is like Robo-Eggman.
Is it? I just thought it was like...
It looks like Eggman to me.
I couldn't get past the second guy. I could never tell if I was dealing damage.
The second boss is the biggest pain in the ass. The, like, balloon guy who sort of...
Yeah, I couldn't tell if I was dealing damage to it.
That was the hardest part of the game to me.
Oh, what, the giant snake thing that, like, throws people... Oh, God, I hate that thing.
You have to...
At least I got stuck on the hardest boss this time.
Well, actually, the last boss is pretty hard, too, but... Yeah, he was improportionately hard.
No, I definitely lost like 7 lives to the snake thing, but I had like 40 because of the bonus levels.
Yeah, I had 3.
Yeah, I would have just quit at that point.
Like I said, that's exactly what I did. The first boss was fine. It was easy. I could tell how to hurt it. The second boss, like I said...
You have to bounce on his head, but he does flash, but it's not a great indicator.
My problem
it was just like, oh, he's flashing. Do I have to hit his pieces when they're coming out of him to deal damage? When you hit that rabbit thing, that's the first level.
Yeah.
It flashed in an obvious manner that, yes, you hit it. Yes, you did damage to it. That one was like, blink. Like, yes, you actually made contact with it. But I couldn't tell if it was a collision detection thing or you hurt it.
My problem was that every time, like, he does the first and third in an arc and he does the other along the ground, I'd always, like, overestimate how far I could jump and get hit by the third
and
one.
And the two respawn really quickly when he's out of them. That was more my problem.
The first boss I didn't really like because you could, like, jump on top of it and it just springs you.
The first boss was really easy.
It's not like a puzzle, but it's like you can't just jump into it, which is the way you're trained to deal with things.
I didn't realize you could just roll around along the ground an attack.
You have two moves in this game. One you get by holding down, pressing the button, and it's the spin dash. Like a Sonic game.
Like Sonic 2.
I didn't even realize you could like charge up the spin dash until the last level. So
the second move depends on your character. Sonic does this thing that's kind of useless from Sonic CD, which I think is called the slipstream or the something like that. It's his taunt in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. That's how useful it is. Basically, it just runs, but without the damage from the spin dash.
Oh.
You're invincible for like 3 seconds after you do it,
but
it's almost never helpful.
How do you even do that?
You hold up and hit a button.
Oh.
Yeah, I never even tried that.
Yeah, well, I only did because I looked the game up on Wikipedia. It's like, included the blah, blah, blah from Sonic CD by hitting up. I'm like, oh, I should try that. If you're on Tails, you can fly by hitting up.
That seems way more useful.
Yeah, like,
the problem with flying is Tails, one, it doesn't last long, and it's usually just long enough not to get anything done. It's like 5 or 6 seconds. The other thing is you go so slow, and the cardinal sin of a Sonic game is making you go slow. That's one of the reasons all the slowdowns are so bad. This game needed blast processing or something. That's what the Genesis had. That was its big selling point. Blast processing.
I actually feel like this game suffered from the problems that Sonic 1 did a lot, where you have to stop in order to progress.
I didn't feel it was nearly as bad as Sonic 1. There are points like that, but
I never played the first one, but it never felt like I had to stop to progress. It felt like the end of the level came out of left field way too soon.
Sonic 1 made you wait a lot. Like, just you were just waiting on a platform to go to the other side, or waiting for it to come to you. This game never really does that.
They're just really, really short levels, and they're really, really, really uninteresting levels.
That's did you get to the falling brick place? I guess you got to the last boss. So
yeah.
I kept jumping onto them and then clipping through part of them.
Oh, yeah, that you, like, smash the bricks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, an interesting concept, but they don't really...
No, it's not that I was just, like, smashing them, is that before I had a chance to jump off of them, I would clip through them before they broke and be stuck in the middle of them until they broke.
That never happened to me. That does sound
It was kind
bad.
Of annoying. It was like I hit them from the side and then went into them.
This game's kind of a mess all the way around.
Yeah, it really feels like the people who did this were not the people who made the first two, because the hitboxes are
different.
It
feels a little bit like Sonic 2 on the Master System.
Yeah, that is true.
Which we get to play as our next Sonic game.
Yeah, thanks. Well, actually, aren't we supposed to play Sonic 1 on the Master System?
No, we're going to do them both, I think, at the same time to get the pain over with quickly.
Okay, it's like ripping off a Band-Aid.
And then we can get to Sonic CD, a game I actually want to play.
Same thing, right? Taking a Band-Aid off as opposed to breaking your arm?
Yep.
Yeah, same thing.
But one of the things that I found really funny, I was commenting on this while I was playing, is when you beat the level, it gives you your score in terms of
speed,
kilometers per hour.
That's a good idea.
But I could just imagine, like, two kids watching, like, man, did you see that hedgehog? Yeah, he was going, like, I don't know, 800 kilometers an hour. That was really fast.
I always find it funny when stuff uses kilometers an hour to determine speed, because then you translate it into miles an hour, and you're like, that's actually not that fast. But
although 800
is still pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's more related to other things that use kph as opposed to miles an hour.
I only once didn't get, like, the you're a crappy little bird ending on a level. So that's if you take too long or do too poorly in some manner, you get a bird.
I don't recall.
I always
this.
Got a bird.
Oh yeah, on the sign. Do you get like a cool Sonic giving you a peace sign or
no? I got Tails once and a bird all the other times.
Okay,
so
I always got a bird.
Yeah, I pretty much always got a bird too. So yeah, this game,
it feels like a huge step back from either of the first
Let's
two,
compare but... it. Let's be fair. It's a mobile game. Let's compare it to Super Mario Bros. To Super Mario Land. Do you think this is more of a step down?
Yes.
The first Super Mario Bros. To Super Mario Land. Because this looks way better than Super Mario Land,
but
it plays
like
so
ass.
Much worse. And Super Mario Land plays way worse than Super Mario Bros., but at the end of the day, it still feels like a platformer.
That is true.
It felt like a platformer, and it wasn't impeded by gameplay problems that were outside of the mechanical issues that they had in the game. Like, this was inhibited by the fact that you got slowdowns by walking down the lane.
Having gotten no slowdowns in this game, it's still not a very good game. I don't know, it feels like Sonic to me. It was just really uninteresting.
Uninteresting, and when you add on technical problems.
Yeah, that's a game killer.
So I think I'm going to give this a rating of Nintendo what Seg don't.
I'm serious. I think Ghosts and Goblins is better in this game.
No. Ghosts and Goblins actively made me hate the game.
But the thing is, Ghosts and Goblins was completely playable. Like, at no point did I think, oh man, this game glitched and I died.
That is
true. I hated Ghosts and Goblins. I hated it so much.
I think this game is worse. I actually think the technical problems killed this game for me. I'm not sure if I was a kid in the 90s and I had this on a Game Gear, whether it would, like, I would just suck it up, but...
I mean, technical problems can be good. I mean, like, think of, like, sandbox games or something. Think of Skyrim and the flying mammoths and the reverse dragons. Or, like, Goat Simulator, a game where they said, we're not fixing any bugs unless they crash the game. Because they're awesome. Like, they can work, but I don't think that would happen in this game. They make the game unfun.
So, Tyler, let's point one thing out here. If you were a kid in the 90s, you know what you didn't have?
A Game Gear?
Exactly.
Okay.
My mom's best friend's daughter had one that I played once, and I think I played this game.
I don't believe it. I don't think
it ran
anyone...
on 4D batteries.
Wow. Oh, God. You can tase someone with that thing.
I think that means it is bigger than my desktop.
I honestly.
It was big. And like, the Game Boy runs
handheld?
On 4 AAAs, and think of how heavy that thing is.
No, the Game Boy ran
on
4 AAs, not triple A's.
But 4D batteries. You had, no, I think it might have actually been 6. I'm going to look it up.
You know, I think being tased by the Game Gear might be more preferable to play in this game.
At the very least, if you're carrying a Game Gear around, you know what, a couple of things. Number one, you have a backpack. Number two, you have theft deterrent. Because if anything's running on 6 or 4D batteries, that thing is big and that thing is heavy.
And you can use it as a weapon in your backpack.
Exactly. On top of that, excellent zombie survival tool because it can do multi-function as a bludgeoning weapon.
The Game Gear was designed to be technologically superior to the Game Boy. Its design came at the cost of battery life. Whereas the Game Boy could run for more than 30 hours on 4 AA batteries, the Game Gear required 6D batteries and could run for 3 to 5 hours.
Oh my god!
Man, that has less battery life than my phone. And my phone has internet connection. Although, I mean, we have improved battery technology.
I've actually been kind of testing mine. My phone will go at least 24 hours and hit 50%.
That's pretty good. Although it wanes quickly, it reaches an equilibrium after... Because that's a relatively new phone, right?
It's like 2 weeks old.
Yeah, so, I mean, after a couple months, it'll drop off, but...
So, anything else to say about Sonic Chaos? I don't think it's the worst game we've played, but now I'm trying to think of a worse one, and...
ActRaiser?
Alex Kidd?
Maybe Phantasy Star?
No, Alex Kidd was just bland.
Well, Phantasy Star was playable, it was just obtuse.
I would say Phantasy Star is actively worse than this by lack of effort.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just obtuse as an RPG. It's not unplayable. This game has so many graphical problems and slowdowns that it's unplayable.
To be fair, like, I agree with you, but I still got to the final boss, so I don't know if it's fair for me to say that, but it was not fun. Like, jumping and not knowing if I was going to finish my jump arc in the proper amount of time in a platformer.
Okay, I'm going to use this as an example. When I was playing this game, I never at one point had fun. When I was playing Phantasy Star, there were moments in that game where I was having fun.
Okay.
I had the opposite experience. I had no fun with Phantasy Star, and I had some fun with this. Specifically with the pogo blocks, but...
Oh yeah, I forgot about those. They're kind of interesting, where they, like, jump you. You might not have gotten to those. I don't remember if they're in the first two worlds.
They don't sound familiar.
They're like springs, except for when you get on them, they, like, move, and you can spring on them, like, 3 times and then jump off at the top of the arc.
Like the, note blocks from Mario?
Yeah, but you can move them. Like, when you jump on them, they move with you.
Oh.
So, I don't know. It was... Not the worst game, but it did not get it as sickle and hammer out of 10, so.
This game is resoundingly getting a do not play from all three hosts, I think.
If there's ever another ratings column, it'll be near the bottom.
Yes, it will. All right, so hopefully the next game in Mobile Month will be near the top.
That's because Nintendo.
Yeah, we're going back to Nintendo. And playing a game I've never played, but I'm very curious about, because... I liked its predecessor pretty well, and really liked the game that came after it. Next time on Last Time, we're going to play Metroid 2, The Return of Samus, for the Game Boy.
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, Return of Samus, Electric Boogaloo. It's in black and white glory.
I can get nowhere in this one, too. Awesome.
But because you're on the 3DS and not your TV, the screens won't be cut off, so maybe you'll be able to see the way.
Maybe. We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah. Next time on Last Time, not Fusion.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owner.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And the best one, Zach at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.
I'll ridicule you anyway. It really doesn't make a difference.
And I'll edit you out and become the hero that I deserve for myself.